WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively getting into some postseason baseball around here. It's, I've been doing the Crab Cake Tour, and I've decided I'm going to do the Crab Cake Tour again. All are brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, our friends. We're going to be scratching these off in a couple of occasions at the Nest prior to some playoff games, because we can say playoff games here now in Baltimore, as well as our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION, and Jiffy Lube MultiCare, our newest sponsor. Appreciation to them. Crab Cake Tour is going to reappear October 13th for my 55th birthday at Drug City. That's on a Friday, and I'm putting together all sorts of goodies. I think Bill Cole from Cole Roofing will be coming out. Maybe bring me some Rofo as well. This guy's down the highway, and I don't bring him on as much as I'd like to, because we'd sit around here and talk about music and steaks at Morton's and all sorts of sports stuff and Bedford, New Hampshire, and Southie, and like all this stuff, because he's a real sports guy. He is at WTOP. He's Dav Presto is the way to follow him out on Twitter. Dave Preston has been my friend for a long time. Back even when I was a real media member before they threw me out of all these places, Dave, I used to see you quite often, sometimes at Terps games. But more than that, I reached to you this week, not just for your James Bond trivia that seems to come on a daily basis, and it seems like you just know a lot about James Bond and Ian Fleming. I would say for me, the Terps being 4-0 and the Orioles playing the Nationals, and as we record this, and if you hear it Thursday or Friday and everybody's had a party and whatever, but the notion that the Orioles could clinch it, on the field with the Nationals watching, or the Red Sox, and I know that that has a whole different thing for you and my wife. This is a fascinating week in the history, in the annals of Orioles baseball, of Baltimore sports, maybe of Washington sports a little bit too, and the new Commanders and the new ownership. And I thought, I need to get Dave on the show. How the heck are you, dude? What's today in Bond history for me? Is there any Britt Eklund or any
of my? You know what? I've not checked up on the Bond birthday. That is a hashtag on Twitter or on X or whatever we want to call it. But we post whenever it's somebody's birthday, whether it's Sean Connery, whether it's Bernard Lee, or whether
it could be Hervé Villechaize. It could be anyone who ever appeared in a body. It's not just for the pretty girls or the bad guy. It could be anybody, right?
This guy was henchman number two in Diamonds Are Forever, basically. He didn't even have a name tag, but he had a birthday, and we honor him. So it's an exciting week, and it's an exciting month. You mentioned in Terpland 4-0 to start the season, back-to-back seasons. That's pretty impressive the way they've begun the year. And they are receiving votes in the top 25. I am an AP voter this season, my first year doing football as well as basketball.
Hold on. What do you got to do to be that guy? I mean, they used to give me a Heisman vote around here. I mean, what do you got to do to vote?
Just stick around and hang out at obscure games consistently. And they're like, okay, this guy's just not here for the big ones. He's just not here for Maryland Duke. He's here for Maryland and Maryland Eastern Shore.
How about Maryland and Towson? How about that, huh?
He's here for who is it? The AU Boston University game, or hey, well, Morgan State is playing Howard. Who's at this game? Oh, Dave's there. So thus, what's nice about it is that I've already irritated a whole segment of college basketball fans over the last few years. Now I get to irritate another part of the country entirely. So I'm not on Florida State's happy list this season, because I've had them lower than third or fourth.
How many voters are there?
61, I believe.
Oh my God, it's a hell of a lot of power, dude.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say it's 500 people or something.
It's like I'm a senator without the perks. But I'm wearing a tie, too. I'm following the dress code, even though I'm in a more exclusive group than the senators.
There are more than 61 senators.
Yes, 100.
I mean, in the history of the Washington senators, I'm not sure. So, look, I can make all sorts of J.W. Pepper references. I mean, I can have fun with you. But I want to stay on cue and on topic, okay?
I do have an update coming up.
you covered a Capitals parade. I was at the Capitals parade. It was the last day of the Barry Trotz administration. Really the last day I ever really supported the Caps. And I got my Predators gear back out now all of a sudden. But you have been through – you weren't there when the team formerly known as Commanders won championships, because you sort of imported into this thing as a journalist in this century, not last century, and Joe Gibbs. But for the city and for the Nationals and what they are and might be ever. And when I drive down there now and see the city I mean, when you talk about what can happen around the ballpark, real estate, Anacostia, all of that, that 40 years ago, the grease man got thrown off the radio, like all of that stuff that's happened in D.C. But the baseball team has won, I don't know if say win consistently, they won a hell of a lot. And now it's in teardown mode. I don't know if it'll be built back up or it'll be the old Senators of Hondo Howard. But I would say this, you're now watching the Orioles do something after stinking, and you're like a real sports guy. You're a real baseball guy. I mean, what do you make of this? Because I don't think you and I have to, last time you and I talked was last college basketball season, I think.
Right,
and
right.
The Orioles were like, just hoping to be like hanging on for a while, hoping to be where Seattle is this week.
Well, I think it's what the blueprint should be if you're rebuilding your club. You know, you have to eventually shed the salaries. The Chris Davis contract was an albatross for far too long. But you every team tries to rebuild, but it's making the right picks and the getting the right guys in. Adley Rutschman, Gunnar Henderson, those were two guys that, you know, they hit home runs on. And what is kind of cool about seeing what's happening up at Camden Yards this year, it kind of reminds me of 1989 when I had a lot of friends that I was at school with or that I knew that was the year that they pointed to where they became a huge Orioles fan, where they were following it, you know, on the paper, or now people are following online every day. Hey, how'd the Birds do last night? And I think this is one of those magical seasons with the young nucleus, with a lot of possibilities, with the way that they've been able to play the last year plus, not getting swept in any series since May of 2022. That's an achievement in and of itself.
Well, Dave, I mean, that's what I'm saying for the playoffs.
That doesn't happen.
People reach to me about the playoffs. I'm like, they don't lose series. I mean, if you beat them 3 out of 5, you've done something. You beat them 4 out of 7. If that's where this is going to go, and this American League, the way they've rigged the baseball playoffs to have the 3-game, which, you know, Tampa wins 95 games, they could be out in a blink, right? So, or I mean, Tampa might win 100 games and be out in a blink. I would just say that. Then the 5-game. And they tell me, and this is all new, right? I mean, I go back to going to playoff games in 79 and 83 where you had to win the division. I mean, other people would say in 69 when the Twins came in and there was an American League Championship Series, like, so back to 66 and all of that. But the modern format and understanding it, because this is the first time for Baltimore to be in this format. It's a kind of a new format, right? That you get these 5 days off to maybe roast, get your pitchers right. Certainly they're going to need that around here. And I would say the notion that we can't play the 6 seed, which is weird because they don't want you playing the 3 seed. They don't want the number one to have to see a division winner until the American League Championship Series. So the better team would be Tampa. The way it's sort of, it's the machination of how they've rigged this tournament, because it is a little bit of a weird play in. And the other wild card that we remember from Zach Britton was a 1-gamer, which was a little, you know, very treacherous for all
he's
the
he's still warming up in the bullpen.
I know he is. I say he's still getting the splinters out of his backside when Buck Showalter tunes in. I would just say for this format and for the Orioles at this point and the way it's lining up and the magic numbers a couple here as we speak, by the end of the week, they should have this thing wrapped up. They're in a position here that's really sort of catbird. And being the one seed's a big deal. I mean, it's a hell of an advantage. It really is. If you can rest your pitching, and they should be in a position here to win a World Series. And that's why I don't want to hear about next year, next year, next year. You live with that in Washington. I mean, they were the best team 3 or 4 of those years and didn't win anything, right?
Right. And the thing is, too, there are always going to be complaints about whatever playoff format you have. There was one year where the Orioles won 100 games, 1980, didn't make the playoffs because that was when you had to win your division. Yankees won 103 that season.
I was 12 years old. You think I don't remember watching the Orioles and the Yankees play? Come
exactly.
On. And you think I don't remember the Orioles having the most wins in baseball in 1981 and not making the playoffs because they finished in second place on both sides of half, right?
There was one year
I'm
where
I'm scarred by this, Dave. It's what made me the man I am today.
There was one year I want to say 5 AL East teams had better records than the Royals who won the West, but that was just the way they did it at the time. I think the question for the Orioles, the old rest versus rust situation, if they've got the 5 days off, will they still be sharp after taking the time off? Because baseball's a grind. And you're used to the grind and your body feeds off the grind, especially this late in the season where you're used to the consistency of every day at the ballpark. And I've seen some teams use that rest and they've been even better coming out of it. And I've also seen some teams they have the 2, 3, 4, 5 days off, and they're not the same for whatever reason. And there's no way you can pinpoint it until you're a week down the road and you're like, yeah, they rested in the wrong way. But still, to have an October of celebration in Baltimore is awesome for Orioles fans. It's
been a long time coming. I don't get any doubt about it. I mean,
long time coming.
So for the Nationals and rebuilding, and I guess dare I would say to you, people that have an orange cartoon bird or an ornithologically correct bird from the early 90s, maybe they were in Reston, maybe leaving you a big tip over a lobster and a surf and turf. The people that you used to serve as in Tyson's Corner were Orioles fans. Like, it was all Orioles fans for 30 years, 30, 40 years. And are any of those people coming back? I don't know. I mean,
A few of them. Yeah. A few people will always be true blue O's fans, even though they have adopted the Nats. And it's because the Nats play in the National League and the O's are in the AL East. It's not ideal, but it's easier for fans to kind of have that separation where it's like, you know what? The Orioles were the fans of my childhood. There was no other team in the area. Now I'm grown up. I've got kids. I can't schlep up to Baltimore as easily, working, 9 to 5 or 8 to 6 or whatever with the 2.5 kids and the 1.3 pets that I've got, because fish count for a third or something like that. So I think people embrace the Nats, while I think a lot of them still love the Orioles beyond belief, at least on this side of the Potomac.
Got to get their kid a hat so they look like they work at Walgreens. Yeah. Dave Preston is here. He is Dav Presto out on Twitter. He's, of course, a WTOP. He does like real sports reporting and journalism and in press boxes. He's at the Terps most weeks. What's up with the Terps? What should my audience know? But I'll get back to baseball. I want to do that. But just from a Terps perspective, we don't talk. And this is an oxygen issue at WTOP, at WBAL, where, I mean, up here, 98, right? They got the games. I couldn't find the Orioles game on Ravens game day because I'm like, where the hell's the Orioles game? It wasn't on 98 Rock. Oh, it wasn't on BAL. No, I mean, it was on 101.5 or like the FM thing that they have. So I'm just thinking, like, with all of this going on, you've got Commanders. You've got Caps are kicking it around. Now, the Nationals are kind of like gone at this point. But you also do UVA and like James Madison, George Washington, Howard, all of these other schools. The oxygen for the University of Maryland and what they would like it to be in the Big Ten, a la Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan. They beat Michigan State this week. Michigan State has this whole – my wife was telling me about Kelly Ripa. I didn't even know she went to Michigan State. So the Maryland thing, when they're 4-0 – and the Ravens are, I mean, wet the bed against the Colts. We've been spending half the week talking about that, Dave, and you wonder why I want to talk about the Terps a little bit. But really, like, Monday's a Ravens day, right? Every day's an Oriole day now all of a sudden here because of where they are. And then I got John Mayer coming to town. We got a concert in Ocean City this week. Artscape. I got all these things. But, like, and even the Ravens, the air is a little out of the football if you saw the $10 tickets and nobody wanted to go to the games. And I would just say for the Terps, they're really good. And you go, and I see you, and I have Terps people, alums, people that are real M Club people. But I wonder where the next rub is. What do they need to do to get people there? Because when they play Ohio State or Michigan, or Penn State, it's going to be all them. You know that, right? Going into this, I've always looked at that, and I know Kevin Plank loves it. I know Bisciotti would have bought it. And I haven't been down in a while because I never felt welcome down there, to be really honest. I mean, that's just a fact. It was always a big pain in the ass. And as a I just never felt like they cared. So honestly, I care and I'm watching and I'm like, are they good? Are they really? I mean, are they going to give one of the big guns a run or no?
They should. I mean, I think what is disappointing is the fact that, a Power 5 school, Big 10 school, the fan base always feels that they're being dissed on many levels, but they don't draw well for football at all. And in order to be considered a serious fan base, you got to bring the butts out to the seats. And I know that we live in a very busy metropolitan area, but there has to be some way to get more people in the stands. You look at the stands and it looks like male pattern baldness. It's like, oh, there's a patch there. There's a patch there of
Orioles looked that way 2 weeks ago, Thursday, too.
Right.
The Ravens look sick in regard to the stands. When I saw, and Dave, you're on ticket, you know, SeatGeek, you know, like I am going to Wolf Trap, going to shows, trying to see Raphael Saadiq at the
it's
Lyric.
A challenge.
Like, but I'm just saying, you can't do everything. Some stuff's cheaper than others. I mean, some nights I can go out and sit on the lawn at Merriweather for $20-$30. Beers are $20. Like, I don't need to tell you all of that. But Oriole fans here are like reaching into their credit cards for thousands of dollars when they're used to paying $60 for the hall pass to go for the month. The team has sucked forever. The team's really trying to win the hearts and souls back. But I had three tickets for an American League Championship Series game up on my screen, and I'm like, I just don't feel like giving $930 right now. Like, I'll feel that way 4 weeks from now, but I'm just not, like, I'm not. And I'm not doing that for Sting, for the Rolling Stones, for
Justin Hayward. You guys share a birthday, don't you? Justin Hayward of the Moody Blues.
Coming up, and I really appreciate you bringing that up. Stacy Keebler's also the same birthday. But I would say to you, like, that seeing the Terps and saying, what is that? Seeing the Orioles, where when they give a bobblehead away, people will come, and it's sold out, and like all of that. But I live here. I'm a part of this. The Bengals on Monday night, and I know you've been out to Cincinnati. It was always mail pattern baldness. It was worse than that. It was baldness in the upper deck in Cincinnati. You know, free Paul Brown, fire Paul, like all of that, right? $150 to get in on Monday night. It was $200 to get in last weekend. They have their white out, right? I mean, they have a thing going on. They went to the Super Bowl. You know, that matters. But if you're looking for a halo, $200 to get into Bengals games, it's $10 to get into Ravens games. You saw how it fell apart for the Washington football team, which is, I mean, you and I, you could do hours, and you have done years. You've done prison on that. But I've done prison on the Orioles. And I do wonder about all of it. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder out loud where you're going to tell me, well, nobody goes to Terps games. I'll tell you, not a lot of people go to Orioles games. Right. And that's the reason John and the Lease and Nashville. And then I look at the Ravens, and my story, we're not going to even get into that.
No.
But there's thousands of words on what they've done to me, which is disgraceful. But as just a fan, it's disgraceful. But the empty seats and sports and the saturation and what the Commanders are trying to do, what the Nationals have sort of fallen apart, where the Caps, who've also lost me, thank you, Zach Leonsis, and they're going to need to have fans after Ovechkin, life after Ovechkin. They're going to have that. And the Wizards can't get up. I mean, there's a lot of teams here, dude. And the Orioles are the best one.
Yeah.
The Orioles are the best one right now. They really are.
At this time, I think there is a chance for Maryland to have a really special season. Talia Tagovailoa is probably the best quarterback they're going to have. I don't see anybody coming up who can equal what he's been able to do.
Is he a first round pick? Is he going to be?
I don't think so. I think he's maybe third round. I think he's a third rounder. Their size. He doesn't have the first round vibe feel. But at Maryland, he's the best guy that they're going to have. I think the offensive line was a question mark coming into the season. They had to replace four starters so far this season. Now, granted, they've only played one conference game. They've only played two Power Five games, but they're near the top of the league and fewest sacks allowed. Big Ten. They average over 5 yards a carry. So the offensive line looks like they're doing the right things. Question mark. Questions are, can they beat Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan? It'd be nice to see them get one of those. I think it might be either Michigan or Penn State because they have to go to Ohio State to play the Buckeyes a week from Saturday. That's going to be a tall task, especially seeing them come back and beat Notre Dame the other weekend.
They'll be 5-0, right? They're going to beat Indiana.
They should.
This week, right?
They should beat Indiana this week. Yes. So.
We are with Dave Preston, my man, Dad Presto at WTOP. You can follow him out on the Twitter places. He's covering all things Terps. Now, look at the schedule, Dave. So they're going to beat Indiana this week. They have Ohio State game, right? Big underdog, 17, 21 points. What's it going to look like next week? And then they got Illinois on my birthday, out at Northwestern, and then the Penn State thing happens in these parts. If they hold their own with Ohio State and they're – I'm doing the math – 7-1, right? I mean, like, maybe?
Yeah. It can happen. It can happen. I think you look at last year, they had what we call the swing game, so to speak. They lost 2 of 3. They could have beaten Wisconsin. They lost to them on the road. It was bad weather, but still they lost a winnable game. They should have beaten Purdue at home, and that was one that fell apart for them. Michigan State was that third game they wound up beating the Spartans last year. So the path for Maryland, can they beat one of the elites in the Big Ten? I think they can. If they play their best game, they can go toe-to-toe with Michigan like they did last year, with Ohio State like they did last year as well. That was a one-possession game until very late into the contest. They could also get drubbed like they did by Penn State last year up there. They get the Nittany Lions down here, though, in College Park. So that's a good thing. I think the difference between this year's team and maybe the previous editions under head coach Mike Loxley is they're taking care of business against the teams that they should beat. They have had a couple of hiccups, down 14-0 against Virginia, down 14-0 against Charlotte. But I'm very impressed with the way that they came out on the road against a Michigan State team that was bonding, coming together after the Mel Tucker issues. They had a week or so to sort things out. Very impressed with how they began play last Saturday. And I think that's going to be what's going to happen as the season progresses. They're going to come out this Saturday and do what's necessary against Indiana. They're going to go toe-to-toe at Ohio State. It's going to be a tough challenge. I don't think they're going to win that game, but there's no reason not to think they enter November 7-1.
Dave, I humble brag here. It's our 25th anniversary. The cupcake and the fireworks out in front should tell you. You know, I'm doing this countdown, these WNST top 25 stories of glory, and we're releasing. And this week we're doing the barn and live shows and all the guests from Lawrence Taylor to we've had all the Dave Winfield walked in one night, crazy stuff that happened at the barn back in the 90s. Not to mention Goose and Ray Lewis and Rod Woodson and Shannon Sharp and like all of that, Trent Dill for all that. But the 25th anniversary, we had a night where Deion Sanders came out to Putty Hill Station in a mink coat with Cordell Stewart. It sounds like a, you know, pull my finger joke, right? But you know, when Deion played here in 4 and 5, he would always say to me, "Hey, Nasty, Ray comes out, I'm coming out. J.O. comes out, I'm coming out." So he came out and he did a whole night with me, and there's pictures and like all of this glory. Okay. And now he's prime time. So I don't know where in the top, it's in the top 25. Trust me, it's coming down the pike. Okay. I mean, it is a top 25 all timer. Now I decreed it that 8 weeks ago in July 4th, when I was putting it all together, this idea that it's our 25th anniversary, the Maryland Lottery had their 50th anniversary, kind of inspired me a little bit about like, hey, 25 years, we've done a lot of really cool ish. We should talk about Free the Birds and our march in New Orleans and our road trips and these great nights and our charity work and Brian Billick's, like all of these cool things we've done. So the primetime night's one of them. And now like, dude, he's the biggest story in college sports the last month. Even getting their ass kicked last week, I didn't know you were one of these special voters, one of these 61 senators. Yeah. So, like, give me a little insight on Prime and on the state of college football, NIL, because I'm less interested in it than I used to be, Dave. Okay. Right? Like, I just am. And because of all of the interchangeable parts, I don't really understand the NIL. I've never really been sat down. I need an NIL for dummies for me one day to really sort of say, now I like that the kids can get make money. I'm a capitalist, right? I'm good with that. But I think it's taken some interest off. You talk about the Terps drawing and Virginia and these other places where they're trying to get fans out and whatever in pro markets. And they don't have that problem in Alabama. They don't have that problem in Columbus. But you know, I would just say for me, Prime has at least made college football above the fold for a couple of weeks. Yeah. But them last week, that was PU, huh?
Tough loss. But they have been the story the first month of the season. For him to completely remake a program that won just one game last year, opening week, they go on the road at the defending national championship runner-up and beat TCU. They outscore him. He has a son that shines on offense, a son that shines on defense. I mean, it doesn't get much better. And he looks really happy and excited to be able to coach his sons at the highest level. It doesn't always work out that way because not every coach's kid is worth his salt. I was a former coach's kid, and I was probably on an 18-man roster. I was probably the 20th best player. So it's nice to see him be able to share these moments with his kids. It's nice for him to be able to reignite a fan base. They're going to be going to the Big 12 next year. And I think that the Colorado's mistake in leaving the Big 12 for the Pac-12, Nebraska did the same thing and going to the Big 10. You give up your foothold in Texas in that and that recruiting base. And they had some issues. Colorado did, I think. They are the story, though, right now. And Deion is he's smarter than people give him credit for. He can be obnoxious and annoying with his, you know, prime time, the sunglasses,
I just
whatever.
Love that he's not on NFL Network anymore. I love that he's gone. Yeah. It was way too much Dion for me.
He's not everybody's cup of tea. He's not.
There's too much Fitzmagic for me right now. You know, there's a lot of there's not enough Peyton Manning for me. I can never get enough Peyton Manning.
Right.
I'm always good with that. You know,
and I think the sizzle is so incredible with Dion when he was a player. Now that he's a coach, when he was an announcer, that sometimes miss the steak. And the fact is, he has this team playing above their level. Like, this Colorado team is maybe a 4 or 5 win team, maybe a 6 win team, given the personnel, giving all the moving parts that have come in. He has them on track to win 8 or 9 games, which is 8 times as many as they had last year. So he's also given all the broadcast partners, whether it's Fox, ESPN, CBS, whoever has Colorado on the schedule, they want to put them in the money slot, whether it's Fox at noon, whether it's ABC at 3:30, whether it's ESPN at 10 p.m., that they draw a ridiculous number against Colorado State. Now, Rams Buffaloes isn't like the, you know, that's not Michigan, Ohio State, and that's still drawing big numbers at 2 a.m. So it's a testament to what he's done on the field and testament to the excitement that he brings off the field. So I'm along for this ride. I still, even though they lost, I still have them on my top 25 this week. They lose again at USC, they're probably going to be out though.
He's an amazing personality because, like, you know, he drove across town and sat with me for 4 hours doing, I mean, he stayed, he wasn't in a hurry to leave. He answered questions.
Right.
He wouldn't sign autographs. He wasn't into like pictures with every person. He was into ask me anything and I'll answer it. And he stayed literally like, are y'all done? It was like literally like one of those kind of nights. No. And then 2 years later, I saw him and he's like, I didn't know him. I haven't seen him in 16 years or whatever. And I see him on TV now and what's made for television and what's not. But I mean, I'm friends with Chad Brown and people that went to Colorado and were old Buffaloes. I've been to Boulder beyond. I've been to the Mork and Mindy house. Cause I know that would be your next question. It's a great place. Boulder, Colorado is one of the greatest places I've ever been.
Right.
It's a place when you show up, you're like, oh, I would go to school here, move here, live here, learn how to ski. You know what I mean? Like, it would be okay. Last thing for you, back to the Orioles, because I do want to bring this full circle, because I go down all sorts of rabbit holes on college football and NIL and college basketball and caps. I could do all of that with you. But in the focus for the Orioles and where they are, and this time and place and space for them. And again, you covered all these Nationals teams that disappointed until there was a parade. Caps teams are a lot of those too, that this is the first wave of this. And Rasig and Max Weiss came out last week on my Maryland Crab Cake Tour, presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation and Jiffy Lube. And they were like, if we lose this year in the World Series, we got to the World Series, that'll be good enough. I'm like, no, it won't be. You wake up the morning after you lose game 5. And I mean, I remember what it was like when they got swept by the Royals 10 years ago. I remember when we lost to the Pirates in 79 day. There's no good. We'll just get there and knock on the door and kick it in like Bum Phillips. I mean, this is they're the best team with the best draw, with an opportunity to really do something special. I it would certainly justify all the bloody deeds of the Angelos family and John Angelo.
Yeah.
By the way, you and I could have started this with there's no lease. right? So like I could do days on there's no lease, but when the team's this good, you don't do that. When the team's this good, you do who's starting game one next week.
Right.
And really, that's what this comes down to on the field. It's getting the pitching together and playing well in game one, because everything's so magnified.
Right.
I mean, next Saturday night, Billy Joel and Stevie Nicks aside, and they might get pushed aside, by the way. Game one here and being up 3-1 in the third inning and not down 5-2 in the fourth inning. That's the most important thing.
Well, I think when we look at the Nationals and their run from 2012 to 2019, they really didn't get a chance to celebrate any of that at all, because they were one and done every single year. You know, they did not win a playoff. They did not advance in the postseason at all until 2019. So you didn't even, yes, you like to win the World Series, but they didn't even have the consolation prize of, you know what? Yeah, we lost in the ALCS. That's, you know, we lost in the LCS. That stinks. But, you know, wasn't it fun to have won the division series, or wasn't it fun to have won the wild card. And I think because that didn't happen until 2019, and then you had the pandemic, you really didn't get to celebrate that decade. It was always the anxiety of, all right, what do they need to do to win a playoff series? And I think if the Orioles are able to win a playoff series, naturally you want to win the World Series, but at least there'll be some, you know what, there's progress and we can build off this next year, and there's some excitement as opposed to, gosh, are we ever going to advance to the ALCS? Are we ever going to get out of the wild card round? I think that this feels like the Nats in 2012, as far as where the Orioles are right now. This is uncharted territory for a lot of these young guys, and what's different is a lot of guys have reached the big leagues in the last couple of years. Whereas I want to say for the most part, the Nats in 2012, you had a lot more veteran pieces. You had Jason Wirth, who had been there. You had Ryan Zimmerman, who was the best player on a very bad team before becoming a very good player on a very good team. And a lot of other, Jordan Zimmerman, who had come up through the system, Steven Strasburg, who was about to be shut down, Gio Gonzalez. So you had a lot of guys who have already seen a few autumns. Whereas I think this Orioles team, so many young pieces, so many guys, the key cogs in young pieces, Henderson, Rutschman, who are still babies, in major league terms.
Yeah, it feels like they've been here a long time. They've been here 5 minutes, right?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how well they perform on the big stage for the first time. And you hope that the 5 days off doesn't take part of that juice out of them. We've talked about rest versus rust, and you're on a different stage. And how different is the difference? There's the approach where it's just a game like any other, but then you know that it's not just a game like any other, because you can lose 3 of 5 in the regular season and still be cool and come back next week and win 5 straight. You can't lose 3 of 5 in the playoffs, or 4 of 7. And so there's, I will say this one thing though about the Orioles, so good this year, even the baseball karma of benching their announcer for a couple of weeks didn't come back to haunt them. I thought that was going to ruin them. I thought that, but they lost like 2 or 3 in a row. And I was like, they might get swept by Houston. That's what happens when you lift their announcer. This is baseball karma. And even baseball karma couldn't derail them in August.
It is amazing now, all these years later after Free the Birds, when, I did Free the Birds 17 years ago this week, right? So I didn't even celebrate it. It was 5 days ago. I didn't even put the pictures up. I'll be doing that a little later on our top 25 countdown, because it's a little higher up. But, I was fed up at that point with the lies, that just how the media was, how the fans were, how everybody was treated. It's 17 years later, and I'm still banned, and they're banning their own broadcasters. And I'm like, and you wonder, whether I was the problem or not.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, winning deodorizes everything, right? People lining up with their credit cards to give hundreds of dollars per ticket for games that may or may not be played, and sitting around and hoping to use the tickets, right? Obviously, the further we go into October, it's just something that, when I began this thing and I did a whole retrospective, I had a gal named Leslie Shreve on Productive Day talking about date minders and Google Calendar and making your life more productive. And I got all of my date minders out from the 90s. I remember going through in 96, 97, believing even in 98, 90, it was a way of life to figure out October with baseball and football and the Terps and life and whatever. We haven't had that issue here with baseball. 12 and 14 and 16 feel like a long time, but that's it. I've owned the radio station 25 years, and having to keep October open and I might be able to do that, but it might be game four. And that's kind of fun. And it's exhilarating to not know what's going to happen. And I guess that's what sucks us all in. And this is what I've said for baseball people, all the fun you guys had for a decade down there, this is what was missing. It's a lot of fun. It's important for the community. People come out and they spend money and they make new friends and they have experiences that you can't have when you lose 112 games.
Oh yeah. I mean, and the anticipation of what's next. I think that's with any sport, with baseball especially, because it's every day and you're anticipating something good every day, or you're anticipating possibilities, Nestor, as opposed to, oh God, what bad thing's going to happen today? And that sours a lot of people. So I think it's great to see the fan base in the Baltimore area, the O's fans, them get rewarded for the 20 plus years in the wilderness that they've had, basically, with a couple of oases here and there, not the band, but the actual water that they were able to drink, 12, 14, and was it 16? Was that the
wild
card?
Yeah, we don't talk about that yet. Yeah.
So I think, you know, enjoy this ride. I think 2019, when the Nats won the World Series, that month was one of the busiest months we had because everything, you know, converges. It's college basketball starts to percolate. You've got all four major sports in gear. The other three. And
Ryder Cup this week going on.
Yes, exactly.
Right? Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff going on. And by the end of October, I was absolutely spent, but you felt absolutely awesome. To have been part of something.
This will happen in November now, because that's the way, you know, Super Bowl used to be in January. They're going to move it to March. Dave Preston is here. He loves sports. He's at WTOP. He's at Dav Presto and also Bond Birthdays, if you need to know, you know, what day J.W. Pepper was born or celebrated. Or
we're going to look. You mentioned Free the Birds. I'm going to look into seeing if there's an actual birthday on the pigeon that did the double take in Moonraker. So when Bond's on the gondola, it becomes a hovercraft, and the pigeon like does a double take. So I don't know if there's a birth date for that pigeon, but if there is, it will be up on Bond.
The big guy with the metal teeth in Moonraker, you wished him happy birthday, Richard.
Jaws, Richard Kiel.
See, I knew. See, I got half of it right.
He was in a lot of stuff.
Dave Preston knows a lot of stuff. He really, really does. He looks a little bit like Sean Connery. You can find him out at Dav Presto, find him at Bond Birthdays, and certainly find him at Terps Games, which is what led me to him and baseball and sports. And he also votes in the AP Top 25, which I did not know, which makes him a VIP, very important person, as opposed to my insignificance. It's 25 years of fun and magic, and the Maryland Crab Cake Tour is going to be coming back courtesy of the Maryland Lottery with our friends at Window Nation and Jiffy Lube to Drug City and the Fountain for my 55th birthday. That's on October the 13th. We are counting down our 25 years of magic. It's all brought to you by Curio Wellness and Farr and Dotter. We're having cannabis education around here with Wendy Bronfine as well. You can find that out at Baltimore Positive right under the cupcake and my magical Disney-esque fireworks. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive.